of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our defender, storms rage around and within us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair. Deliver your sons and daughters from fear. And preserve us in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated.
Being from 1 Kings. At Horeb, the Mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram, and you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nishma, as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehola, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill, and whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 85 responsively. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for you speak peace to your faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to you. Truly your salvation. Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Faithfulness shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before the Lord, and shall prepare for God a pathway. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. A reading from Romans. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down. Or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart.' That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. On Thursday evenings, we have a short communion service where we gather, and you're all welcome, either out on the patio now or in my office, but we have this short service, 6:30 on Thursday night, and I always read the Gospel for the coming Sunday. So many people who come to that Thursday night service are folks who are planning not to come to church on Sunday, but don't want to absent themselves from the community. So they come on Thursday night, we hear the gospel read, and we share communion. And I always look forward to that service. I like it because after I read the gospel, I say, "Well, what do you think? What preaching path should I take? What did you hear in that gospel?" So this last Sunday, or this last Thursday, a number of people made the comment after hearing this gospel that it is often in the most challenging times of life that we feel God's presence most clearly. And then a corresponding thought, too often we only reach out to God when we're in trouble. Now, they weren't saying that God is only present or God only appears when we most need God, but rather there's something about those big challenges, those difficult trials in our lives that clarify our priorities, that turn us from the many distractions of everyday life and help us to see God more clearly. Did you hear that in this gospel reading? After feeding the 5,000 or more people who had followed Jesus out into the wilderness, that was our gospel last Sunday, Jesus tells the disciples to go on ahead of him. "I'll catch up with you later." I wonder how they thought he was going to catch up with them when they took the boat. But he says, go ahead, go on ahead of me. I'm going to dismiss the crowd, and then I want to spend some time in prayer. So I'll meet you later. So the disciples take off, and while it's night, a storm arises. Now for that sea, the Sea of Galilee, that is not an unusual thing. Storms happen very suddenly without any warning. And these were seasoned sailors. They knew what to do in these quick storms, these unannounced storms. And it was night, which is a time that a lot of fishermen are out on the water. So this was not an unusual thing to be out on the water in the night, to have a storm come up, and to have to work really hard. They're rowing against that storm, trying to stay close to the shore, trying to stay close so that they can get Jesus when he's ready to come. And they are anxious in the storm. They are tired because all night they're working hard. And they're scared. This is a storm that they, worse than they had expected. And they're a little scared too. And then early in the morning, in the early hour of the morning, like at 4 o'clock in the morning, they see Jesus walking on the water toward them. It must be a ghost. Because unless you're and this, thank you to the Thursday night people, unless you are a very good water skier and you can kick off your skis, you cannot stand on water by yourself and not sink. It's been proven. I tried it. You can't walk on water. And they see Jesus walking on the water, and they are scared. It must be a ghost. And Jesus reassures them. Take heart. Do not be afraid. It is I. So Jesus identifies himself, tells them to have courage. Do not be afraid. Those are very encouraging words. In fact, they were so encouraging that Peter thinks he can walk on water too. And he gets out of the boat on Jesus' invitation. Come along. So Peter gets out of the boat, and surprise, he can walk on water. And then he remembers and feels the force of that wind, and notices how high the waves, and he starts to sink, and he reaches out his hand, help me, Jesus, and immediately, Matthew uses that word, immediately, Jesus grabs him by the hand. Peter lost heart when he started to sink. And Jesus remarks on that, oh, you of little faith, oh, you lost heart, he says. The minute he took his eyes off Jesus, he lost heart. And the disciples in the boat see this happen, and they say, truly, you are the Son of God. They see Jesus pull Peter from the water immediately on his cry for help. And they say, truly, you are the Son of God. I think that's very interesting, given the fact that Jesus had, hours before, cured many people and fed over 5,000, probably 10,000 people with two pieces of fish and five loaves of bread, like our symbol on our banner here. That wasn't enough to convince them that he's the Son of God? No, they see this word of encouragement, and that's the thing. It's not when other people are in need, when other people were in hunger, when other people were sick and found salvation in Jesus. That's not their point of faith. Their point of faith is when they were scared and in need and worried, anxious. And Jesus reaches out to them. Ah, now I'm paying attention because it's about me and about my human condition. I think so often we overlook God's presence, even in the midst of miracles, when it's all calm and peaceful, when things are going along swimmingly well, when everyone is being fed and cared for, everything's fine. But when the storms of life are raging, when we are the ones who are threatened with drowning in the sea of life's turmoils, it's then that we cry out for God. Maybe this is part of our human nature because we spend so much time trying to keep everything safe and secure for ourselves and for those we love. And that's all well and good. God does desire our well-being and our success. That's what God wants for us. But all too often, we claim that that well-being and that success is the work of our hands. We forget about God. We think we've done it. I am successful. I am happy. I am healthy. I am fine. Thank you very much. I did this by myself. And we forget how much God desires to be a part of our life. We forget how much we do depend on God. But then let some serious illness or economic tragedy or a threat or an important relationship that ends, or we make a tragic bad choice, and then suddenly we see our need for God. It becomes crystal clear that we do need God. We are sinking, and we reach out our hand to cry for God's help. Now, I don't think that Matthew tells us this story for us to only remember the truth about ourselves. Yeah, that's pretty much like I am. When things are going fine, I'm patting myself on the back. When things are in trouble, I say, God, where have you been? Help me. I think that's part of our human condition. And Matthew wants us to see that truth, but I think Matthew tells us this story so we learn a truth about God, not just about ourselves, but about God. The truth is that no matter what it is that reminds us that we need God, God responds. That's the truth that Matthew is trying to get into our heads and what we are learning about ourselves and the truth of this gospel today. God responds. Just like Jesus reassured the disciples, take heart. Or another way to translate that would be, have courage. Be encouraged. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Just as Jesus immediately reached out his hand to grab a hold of that sinking Peter, so also God responds to us with compassion and support. But not only that, and maybe even more than that, here's this good news. God not only responds to our need, but God actually desires our lives of abundance and courage. God wants for us to live lives of courage. Take heart, he says. After all, it is Jesus who sent the disciples out in that boat on ahead of him, trusting that they would take the risks of storm and sea. It was Jesus who said to Peter, sure, come on out of the boat, trusting Peter to follow him, even when it would be clear to us that that would be impossible. Jesus says to those scared disciples, take heart, "It is I. Do not be afraid." He is with them, for them, urging them to leave behind their fear, to live wholehearted lives. And that is God's desire for us as well. God desires us to live wholehearted lives, to be of good courage. God desires that we trust God with all of our hearts, because God is with us and for us and wants us to live with courage and hope. God doesn't want us to stay in the boat and be scared, but to step out, to risk ourselves in relationships and in compassion for others, all the while remembering that even though we do overlook God's presence, even though we are not paying attention to God when things are going fine in our lives, God is with us. God is always there, encouraging us to let go of our fears, even the fear of having to do everything ourselves. God is there, grabbing onto us with mercy and grace and forgiveness. Yes, it's true. God is with us in those most difficult times in our lives. God is responding to our fears and our cries for God's presence and for our comfort. God is with us, encouraging us to cross over the rough waters and to step out of the boat in faith, trusting that God will grab hold of us in our need, that God will always, every time, save us. God will always, every time, grab hold of us in our need. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid.